Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, and
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah, I know.
720 WGN. It is the weekend, and we are here high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. It's the Jim Bob Show game day edition. And Jim Bob, it's heard here and on great stations all around the country. Jim Bob in week three right now, sort of getting a gauge for who's who and who is not who. Unfortunately for Bears fans, the picture that is becoming clearer and clearer is this is not the team they hoped to see.
No, it's definitely not. And, you know, the who's who in the NFL, the Bears are... Boy, I tell you what, I don't recognize them from one half to the next. I've been saying this for a week now. It's the Jekyll and Hyde in regards to that defense. And when I say Hyde, I'm talking about Hide.
Well, people did not see that coming. And you know, and you can share the excitement. We were at the El Bandito Yankee Tequila tailgate with the bus. I mean, the anticipation is always high. The glass always half full. Bear fans were super excited. Does that make it even more disappointing? It's one thing when you think, ah, the Bears aren't going to have a great team. This year, I think the hopes, you know, was that this would be the year.
Well, I think the boss and Tim, our buddy, who is the Bears' number one fan, I mean, he is so optimistic. And is there a better guy out there that, I mean, just upbeat and he's always so positive for the Bears? I mean, when's he ever going to get worn down? Because if they go 0-3, I mean, he'll still show up.
We've talked about it, Jim Bob. We said, you know, the Bears don't deserve you. No. You know, maybe there's other teams that maybe could benefit from the great fandom. But you know what? True blue, blue and orange. He's going to stick with the Bears.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what is that, you know, this season, and I've said this, I think Ben Johnson is overhyped. I think the 52-21 beatdown, we talked about it. It was personal. It was more of a statement. Hey, man, we moved on without you, and we're just going to prove the hype. And they did.
We've never gone into what does the MMA girlfriend say after you text her and tell her you've moved to Poland. I think that
we're going to beat your Dan ass Campbell. 52-21. That's what she said.
It's going to make it hurt, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. But, you know, there's a shakeup around the league. I mean, you know, the league's there's some people that are struggling as bad as the Bears. The Chiefs are 0-2. For the first time in the Mahomes era. So, you know, Kansas City starts winless. The offense is more disjointed than my golf swing, I can tell you. And Travis Kelce, you know, his stat line, one catch for 5 yards, looks more like a typo than a box score. The Eagles, meanwhile, are 2-0, and the NFC champs picked up where they left off. The Super Bowl champs left off, beating the Chiefs 20-17 in week two. And Philly's got, you know, Saquon Barkley still pounding the rock, and their O-line looks like they're moving. I mean, it looks like they're moving a wall when those guys get to there, and the defense doesn't blink. But how about my Packers at 2-0-2, and they've gone from let's see what Jordan Love can do to a defense that just might carry them to the Super Bowl. Micah Parsons has turned them into a brick wall, and Vegas is already bumping up their odds on the Packers. And the Packers do look great, and we're going to get to see that Eagles-Packers later on.
Well, you think about this, how good the Packers look. I think when you have those comparisons of who they're playing, and that's when you look at the Chiefs and you say 0-2. Yeah, but those were tough games. You can't win them all. They won a lot last year. Maybe they're due to struggle. On the Packers side, you looked, these games have not been close, and you look at that Lions team and what they can do against a defense that isn't there like the Bears. It just makes the Packers look even better, because not only have they looked convincingly good, super solid, both offense and defense, but the teams that they beat, These are some pretty exceptional offensive weapons, whether it's Jared Goff or whether it's, you know, the Commanders, right? That is a great team, too. They all looked very ordinary.
It was two of the highest prolific scoring NFC teams, you know, both those. So those were solid wins. But, you know, when we're breaking it down, there's plenty of teams out there that are coming hot out of the gate. The Packers are, Jim Bob's Pigskin power rankings are number two. I've got the Eagles at one. But the Bills, Josh Allen, I mean, you know, they're 2-0, and Josh Allen's arm is dangerous. But they've got James Cook on the running game, and that's carrying Buffalo. The Eagles are, like we say, they're balanced. The Cardinals, you know, Kyler Murray, he's playing MVP level. He's in that conversation in the second week, and so's Baker Mayfield, you know. And the Rams are off to another 2-0 start. The Bengals, even though Joe Burrow's is banged up, I mean, they're coming out 2-0. 49ers, Brock Purdy's hurt, 2-0. The Chargers took down the Chiefs, handled the Raiders, and they look like they could be a real AFC problem maker. So, I mean, you've got some guys coming out that are, you know, hot to trot. So where's the trouble brewing? Well, let's start with the bottom of the barrel here.
The Bears?
Well, the Dolphins.
Oh,
you know, Tua can't find anybody downfield at all, and Miami's offense just simply looks lost to me. The Texans, CJ Stroud, he's talented, but his O-line, I don't think they can support it. It looks like it's like his O-line looks like turnstiles, you know, with those defensive guys coming through there. The Saints got no players. They're cap strapped, and they're looking at, you know, next year's draft board. The Jets, no. The Panthers, Bryce Young, his learning curve seems like he's hit a brick wall, to be honest. And so, you know, we got a lot of injuries, too, to talk about, though, Dane. I mean, we got Burrows for the Bengals, Brock Purdy. I think we've got four backup quarterbacks that are going to be starting this week. So it's going to be, the week of the backups.
When you think of a guy who hasn't been a backup, but now, you know, maybe is in the back end of his career, you got Aaron Rodgers. What are your thoughts so far? You know, he took a lot of the credit. He played, I think, well in that initial game, took a 60-yard field goal for the Steelers not to lose. And then he's showing his age a little bit. Is this about the best that you can, you know, hope for from an Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, we've got Aaron Rodgers this weekend against the Patriots and Drake May. I mean, I got to give a little bit of nod to Rodgers in regards to that game. I'm going to say that the Steelers will beat the Patriots. Used to be, those two teams used to be dynamic in on the defensive side of the ball. And, man, now their defenses both look like they're on life alert. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on there.
What do you think, as far as what you're taking away from this, and, you know, whether it's last year we talked a lot about the Chiefs, couldn't necessarily read so much into the fact that they were undefeated or beating all these teams. Those games were very, very close, oftentimes coming down to the kicker. I don't know that you can worry that much about them being 0-2 here. You mentioned they haven't been 0-3. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has ever been 0-3 in his career, but does he have to say you're looking at some positives, right? If the Eagles are definitely the class of the NFL, you're predicting them to repeat. That was a very close game, a good game. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs, they're going to find their way, but they are playing in a very difficult division, and you can't win them all.
Well, and you know, they played two really good teams. I mean, the Chargers look like they might be a team that, you know, you can't discount right now in the discussions with them of Super Bowl, you know, bound team. And obviously the Eagles are the number one team on our Jim Bob's Pigskins power rankings. And so, and the Chiefs had their opportunities. I mean, they came out very solid, very aggressive in the first quarter and second quarter, and Kelce dropping the ball. And then
is he done, in your opinion? Is he just more of a, I don't know, public figure face of a team ambassador, or is he going to have a real impact on the field?
I think he's an NFL ambassador. You know, I mean, him and Taylor, you know, hey, it's good for the ratings and it's good for attendance, but just, I'm not impressed with the way, you know, and then I watch his routes, and he's always been kind of in my opinion, a lazy route runner. Physically, he seems like he's still capable on a number of plays, but I just, like I said, they had their opportunity to win that game against the Eagles, and they didn't. And so I don't think, I'm too worried about the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to go 0-3. I can tell you that. I mean, they're the lock of the week of beating the Giants. And I think that, you know, they'll be 1-2 and they'll be ready to start rolling.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys, a really exciting game. They came away with a win, some big kicks, overtime. They got a win, and so they're not
0-2. They're coming in against the Bears. You'd think they've got an advantage there. But the Cowboys, you know, you're always skeptical of their potentials when it comes to Dallas. It's a long season, right? I don't think being 0-2 means all that much. I think you can lose some and still make the playoff statistics show that. But your thoughts as far as what the Cowboys need to do in order to continue? And we looked at it early on, Jim Bob, when it came to the Bears. The Bears have a very tough schedule. You know, we were looking, even with all that promise and every bit of optimism built in, and we were like, I don't know, maybe 8-8? And, of course, that doesn't look possible now.
No, I'm thinking more like 4-13. I mean it. I'm not kidding. I mean, they got a tough schedule, and I'm not seeing anything out. I don't even understand how the Bears are favored in this game over the Cowboys. The Cowboys, to me, I thought looked pretty good in their first game in the, you know, their loss to the Eagles.
Yep.
Jalen Carter, of course, helped matters by putting a $57,222 loogie on Dak before the game started. But that's what that cost, folks. He got assessed a fine of a game check. And so that was a $57,222 loogie. Pretty expensive and nasty. But, but no, I think that what do the Cowboys have to do? This is a funny one, is what the Cowboys have to do to be successful, fire their general manager. You know, I mean, Jerry Jones.
Slash owner.
slash owner. I mean, think about it. Who else in the league is going to hire Jerry Jones as a general manager in the NFL? The answer to that is no one. Who in the NBA would hire Jerry Jones as a general manager? No one. Who in MLSL, Major League Baseball, NHL would hire Jerry Jones as a general manager? And the answer is nobody. The only people that he's going to be able to convince that he needs to be the general manager is himself. And that's what I think is the Achilles heel of the Cowboys to getting out of their funk, is that get rid of the general manager. I think the Cowboys, you know, I mean, you got rid of Micah Parsons, and look what he's done to that, you know, that Packers team. I mean, the corners are cheating up about a half of a yard to a yard more. And I mean, they're squatting on those receivers like they were squatting on there in the living room. I mean, literally, they are up in front and close and personal on that. And Micah Parsons has done wonders. You know, I thought he could impact one or two games. Well, he's already impacted two games coming out of the shoot. So I just think that I think the Cowboys played good. I think that that shootout they had with the Giants was something. And I think that the Bears, man, they have not shown me anything. Ben Johnson's not shown me anything. Caleb Williams hasn't shown me anything. I'm not impressed whatsoever. And we got secondary problems, too. I mean, the Bears have got immense secondary problems and the collapses in the fourth quarter and so forth. But when Ben Johnson rolled into town, everybody thought, oh, he's the savior. He's going to be the quarterback whisperer. He's starting to remind me more of Mark Trestman, who went 13-19 with the Bears, than anything else.
Well, hey, you think about this on the offensive side, supposed to be the quarterback whisperer and the savior of the offense. We don't need to remind Bears fans that they gave up over 50 points in this last one. And then against Minnesota, it was a second half complete collapse, with the offensive line being the focus and the problem, and getting that franchise quarterback. Who would have thought that it's the defense is as big a problem, maybe the bigger problem that the Bears have?
I think the problem that the Bears have is that I think the defense is in trouble for the rest of the year. I don't see how that's going to get cured. I really don't. I think that some of the things that they're doing on offense, I think that, you know, they'll get a handle on that and they'll get behind him. But, you know, the big deal, Ben Johnson wanted Caleb Williams to throw at 70% completion rate, and we're not hitting those numbers. And I just think that, you know, going forward for the season, It's going to be really, really tough for the Bears. Just, you know, their schedule is tough. The secondary's already beat up. They have a couple more injuries. It could be a really bad year.
Yep, the optimism is there. They are the favorite for the game against the Cowboys. Last thing before we go to break, Jim Bob, we've mentioned Micah Parsons a couple times. Number one, the impact he's had to the Packers. Also, you know, how can the Cowboys' decision-making there, you let that guy go, that generational player, transitional star on the defensive side, and just all those impacts that he has. And so when you come to the Packers, this was going to be this, you know, the NFC North was, hey, there's a lot going on here. Packers, at least at this point, seems obvious that they're the class. Do they start to think, I think maybe after this week, this should be, I don't want to say a gimme, but this should be an easy win for them if they completely dominate 3-0 and then taking on two big teams. Do you have to put the Packers in that conversation, not just to win the division, but to challenge the Eagles for the NFC?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I mean, the Packers have a long week here, a rest week. They're going to go up, and they're playing Cleveland. I mean, I think they're going to dismantle Cleveland. I really do. Those extra couple days of rest are really meaningful. But I want to ask you something before we get off the Cowboys real quick. Would you hire Jerry Jones to manage your fantasy football team?
I wouldn't hire him. And also, here's the
your
other
fantasy football team, Dane.
I mean, if he was funding it, maybe I guess we could have him help out. But here's the problem. You have owners that are not necessarily, and he is a football person, played football, coached football. He's a football guy. But here's the other part that I think when you make some bad decisions, not only on the personnel side, but also in the front offices. He doesn't have competent football people. He has his kids are running it. His kids are the ones that are the general man. His kids are the ones that are like in charge of personnel. His kids. Now, granted, it's great to get your family involved in things. Obviously, they're all football fans and excited about the success, but you think you miss out when you don't get the best and brightest out there in the league to help with the team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about people that, you know, have been in football since they were in their teens. These guys that grow up, I mean, they're in the football business, so they understand everything. There's no learning curve for them. I mean, they grow up and progress. And I'm not talking about Jerry's kids. I'm talking about people that are executives and football officers and general managers. And yeah, I think they're handicapped a little bit. And I thought that, you know, the Micah Parsons handling with the Cowboys, mm-hmm. I guess that remains to be seen. They're going to get a lot of draft choice for it. But hey, right now they help make the Packers a Super Bowl contender overnight.
Yep, it's going to happen. Well, we're going to see how all that shakes out, of course, as we go through the games today here in the NFL season. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. It's the Jim Bob Show, Game Day Edition.